1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I have a guest across the way. He's lived here most of his life, here in Clay County a little bit, but gonna kind of try to reintroduce him to a lot of folks. As joining me this morning, Hank Simmers. I gotta ask you before we even get started. I've known you as Hank your entire life, haven't I? Or for the last 10 years, right?
You kind of slogan that name when I was playing football.
Yeah, Hammering Hank Simmers. Yeah. That's exactly right. Did nobody call you Hank Simmers before that? Was that me and Marty?
Miss Z did. She called me when I first moved here as a freshman in high school, but.
Do you prefer Henry Simmers or Hank Simmers, or what do you go by in your business life?
I go by both, honestly. I introduce myself, I guess, as Henry, but more people know me as Hank around here.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Talking, ladies and gentlemen, introducing Henry Simmers, Hank Henry Simmers of CSI Insurance, and you've been there how long now?
Since September.
September 2015.
Yes.
What are you doing at the insurance agent? You're learning it now, or you sell?
Yes,
or
I think you're always learning it.
Is that right?
You can never fully understand it because once you do, then they change something on you. But yeah, I started in September. I took the classes that are required by the state of Illinois,
sure,
in Collinsville,
yeah,
to get my license,
yeah,
and then this January I started a program. From one of the companies we represent,
okay,
State Auto, the Pacesetter program.
Oh, okay.
I went to Columbus, Ohio for 2 weeks.
We'll get into all that in a little bit.
Okay.
I want to talk more about your background here in the early part.
Okay.
Tell your family.
My mom and dad, Bob and Deborah Simmers.
Okay.
My dad teaches at the high school here.
Right.
Coached baseball for a while.
Yeah.
My mom's now at Albion High School. She's a.
What's she do over there?
Teach special ed there.
Okay.
I got a little brother, Morgan.
How old's Morgan?
He's 22 now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Good grief. So how old are you now then?
24.
Oh my goodness, you're young. I tell you, it's amazing. It's amazing. Especially since I've known you for 10 years or whatever I've known,
yeah,
you. Ever since I started calling football here in Fairfield. Where did you start school? You went to school at Clay City first, right?
No, Flora.
Flora?
A wolf. Yeah.
Tell me the difference between growing up in Flora and growing up in Fairfield. You had, 10 years? When did you move down? How old were you?
I lived in Flora from, 2002 to 2007.
Okay.
And then...
So you moved down at about the age of 15?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Fairfield.
Two different... They're entirely different... entirely different cultures?
Yeah, I would say so, even though they're so close.
It's, yeah.
And... similar people, but yeah, definitely different cultures.
That's impressive. I'm not going to ask you which one you prefer because I mean, each of them has their good points, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, yeah. I mean, I graduated a mule, so I guess
sure.
Bleed red and black.
So you're a mule.
Yeah.
Well, that's. Did you enjoy? What was your favorite part of high school?
I would say just the sports. I'm a big sports guy, yeah. So being able to play sports and also being able to play baseball for my dad.
Yeah.
And I played with my little brother, too. So.
See, now that's pretty cool, isn't
yeah.
it? Tell me a little bit about college. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Frontier for a year, and then I went to Eastern, EIU, for the following 3 years to get my degree.
Okay. What's the degree in?
Sports management.
No kidding.
Yes.
What was the plan?
Tell me.
I gotta know, Hank. What was the plan?
It's derailed a lot.
Well,
yes.
A little bit. I mean, but you never know.
I just
a person needs a wide, full background, don't they?
Luckily, with the sports management degree, there's a business administration minor, which
yeah.
allowed me to.
That helped you a little bit.
Yeah,
huh?
Helped me get this job maybe. But I wanted to work in sports and eventually work on the professional level, maybe with the Pirates.
You had a goal.
Yeah, I did.
You still have the goal.
I'm definitely happy with where I'm at.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But I took an internship, worked for the normal Corn Belters. It's similar. They're the same league as the Southern Illinois Miners.
Okay, so it's a Frontier League team.
Yes, Frontier League team. I was sold tickets for them.
All right, I got to ask. Do interns get paid?
That job I did.
Oh, that's good.
Because there was only two paid interns on the whole normal Corn Belter staff.
Yeah.
I was one of them, luckily.
This is in Normal, Illinois?
Yes.
I did not realize Normal had a baseball team. So they play the Gateway Grizzlies and
the
Evansville Otters.
Yes, all in the Frontier League.
Where do they play in Normal? Where's the field?
It's right by Heartland Community College. They actually share the field with Heartland Community College.
Is it near 74 where it goes around the town? Or
yeah, it's actually right off the interstate.
Okay, it's at the top part of it, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
I have seen it. Okay, I have driven by that too. I always wondered who played there.
Yeah, they share.
That's a nice park.
Yeah, it is. It's all AstroTurf. And, like, you can't tell kind of sitting in the stands when you get close. It's like an old-fashioned AstroTurf field.
Oh, it's not even the new field turf type of stuff, is it?
Yeah, I guess.
Or
well,
is
yeah,
it?
You're right.
Oh, okay.
It's like what the new football field type.
Okay, well, the guys don't play out there and break their legs or
no
get angry about their knees.
No, I've heard the lifespan of a Corn Belter player isn't the longest though. They're there 2 years probably, I'd say max, because their goal was to move on to like the minor league
right.
level.
Because right.
it's not affiliated with the MLB.
It's below A, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Independent league.
Yeah.
You took tickets up there. Did they put you in a – I got to know. I've never been to that park. I've driven by it. I've never been to that park. Is there a Corn Belter mascot?
Yeah, I actually had to be the mascot.
That's what I was going to ask. All right, tell me about being a Corn Belter mask. Do the little kids come up and, like, kick you in the ankles and that kind of stuff?
Some did, yes. I had to do it for it was a convention for the students there. It was in the hockey rink there, actually.
Oh, really?
And I had to... The other mascot was there from Illinois State.
Okay, the Red Bird, I guess.
Yeah, the Red Bird mascot. Much stricter qualifications to be the Red Bird mascot.
Really?
You have to try out and stuff.
No kidding.
The Corn Belter, they just pick you. They're like,
it's
your turn.
If you fit.
Yeah.
Does the outfit fit?
And the biggest thing I couldn't get used to is not being able to talk. You're not supposed to talk when you're the a mascot because – I guess there's
so not, you're wearing a hat?
Yeah, you're wearing
a helmet.
A picture.
Yeah, I want to see a picture.
I can show
is
you.
It,
that.
Is it a big? Is I describe since we can't put the picture on. We're not on TV.
It's like
describe the mascot uniform, the mascot costume.
It's almost like an ear of corn, that life, like a life ear of corn. Like they brought it to life.
An ear of corn brought an ear of corn with legs.
Yeah.
How's he? Is he partially shucked?
I guess so. His head, like his face.
The head is kernels.
Yeah.
Whereas the legs are.
And
the,
you have the hair that's like
the husk type
of
thing.
Yeah, the strings that stick.
How was that gig?
It was fun, actually. Never got so many high fives in my life.
See, now that's cool.
Yeah.
Did you wear gloves?
Yes. It's full body, so I was sweating. It was pretty hot in there.
I guess I don't understand the not talking thing. Do you have a mouth or something? Does your head move? Or So if some little kid would come up and talk to you, say something to you, you just sat there and stared at it.
Yeah, and like you try to just use hand motions to like express how you felt. Well, I was either offering a hug or a high five all the
time.
See,
now that's cool. That's cool. How tall was the thing? I mean, you're a good strapping lad. You're 6 feet tall yourself.
Yeah, I would say it's 6'4", then, about.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's definitely taller than me.
How many times did you get to do that?
I
ask it get to do that. Or is it more get to do that or forced to do that?
It was more forced to do that.
Yeah.
But
it was hot.
Yeah, I was forced to do that once. I never actually did it at a game.
Oh, okay.
Because they
– Well, the guy at the game, he's getting paid for that gig.
Yeah. As an intern, you don't. You're
– That's a – at the game, that's a paid – that's his job.
Yes.
What'd you learn at the – did you enjoy working at the normal – the
yeah,
corn, it's the Corn Belters?
Yes, Corn Belters.
And it's not – I guess – that's a play on words, belting the baseball, I presume, right?
Yeah, or is it just because it's actually
– they're in McLean County in the Corn Belt of the
Illinois.
Yeah,
that's how they got it. They're in the Corn Belt, and they're sponsored by the Illinois Corn Growers Association.
Oh, really?
And that's their field. That's their biggest sponsor. That's the field is Illinois Corn Growers Association.
So like Martin Ray Barbary was your ultimate boss, the guy down at Carmi, the president of the State Corn Growers Association.
I guess if you want.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you have fun up there?
Yeah, definitely. It was a.
How big a crowds they get to those games?
I would say it's similar to the minors. Like a couple thousand was a good night. And it, like the minors, it's more what the promotions were and
really
if what the fans were. We had different goofy outfit nights and stuff there. They had Star Wars themed nights and just to try to get people out there.
What was the goofiest outfit you can remember seeing? What's the most entertaining outfit you remember seeing somebody show up in to get on the field and get recognized? All they're getting,
yeah,
right?
I guess maybe
a Belters T-shirt.
Yeah, the Belters T-shirts were hot items, but there's Darth Vader, I guess, for that.
All right, tell me, did you have a cannon?
No, we didn't.
You didn't have the T-shirt cannon?
No. Oh, yeah, actually, I never got to use it.
Now, that was what I wanted to know, if you got to fire the T-shirt cannon.
No, they had paid employees that were in charge of that.
Probably trained in some.
They'll tell you they're trained. Some of the shots they fired.
That's pretty cool. I'm talking to Hank Simmers from CSI Insurance. We're gonna get into more of that probably side of it eventually, but that's a nice fun tangent. We'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show and talk a little bit more with Hank and after these words. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My guest across the way is Mr. Henry Simmers. He is what is your title? Do you have a title? You haven't given me your title.
Insurance producer.
Insurance producer. At what point does it, after you go to the big class, or you've been to the big class in Columbus, or you?
Yes.
Okay. At what point does it change? What's Richard and Brian?
They're also producers.
Okay. So it's basically insurance producers.
Yeah. Once you get your license, you become one. So.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Okay. How did you find the job, by the way, from Eastern into Normal? That must just been part of the sports management deal?
You have to have a internship before you can get your degree.
Okay.
In the sports management program. And I just was looking on many websites, and that's one that...
Was baseball where you wanted to go?
I would say, yeah. And it kind of had to be because I had to do it in the summer to graduate in August.
Yeah.
And baseball is really the only sport that was good.
Well, I guess that's right. You can't really intern at an NHL place or something
no,
at that
not,
point.
Not in the summer.
Tell me a little bit about why baseball, other than the timeliness of the matter. Tell me who you're a fan of.
Oh, I am a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
How in the world did that happen? I'm wondering, okay, you're 24 years old. I'm sitting here doing the math in my head. You never saw Barry Bonds play for the Pirates.
No.
The Pirates, back when you were born, the Pirates went like 20 years without a winning season.
Yeah, when I was 22 in 2013, when they had their first winning season, that was the first winning season I saw.
And you're a big baseball fan.
Yeah.
You love baseball.
Yes.
Playing and rooting. How in the world did you pick the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Well, my dad, Bob Simmers, is a Pirates fan, and I lived in his house. And
so it's a genetic defect, is what you're saying?
Yeah, you could say that. But I wanted to continue to sleep in the house, and I had to choose to be a Pirate fan.
Who's your favorite Pirate?
Ever.
If you've been a Pirate fan for 20 years, you have to have a favorite.
I never saw him play, but Roberto Clemente. Currently, though, Andrew McCutchen, he's just...
Of all the Pirates you've seen play, it's got to be McCutchen,
though. Yeah, he's resurrected the franchise, so, I mean, you got to like him.
Who's your favorite pitcher? The reason I ask is, I think back over the Pirates that I've watched play, and I'm double your age, and John Candelaria, and Kent Tecolvi.
Kent Tecolvi, yeah, he still announces or does some, broadcasting.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. So I know of him, beanpole of a guy.
Oh yeah,
he's not so much anymore. But when he played,
Bob originally from Pennsylvania, or how'd that happen?
His parents are. They both are from Pittsburgh. He lived in Morton, Illinois.
So it's a hereditary disease, not just a genetic defect. it passes generation to generation to generation. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass on to my kids.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, we're a loyal bunch.
That's good. So you went from there. You got out of school, and I'm assuming finding a job in sports management is a little difficult.
It was. I could have pursued staying with the normal Corn Belters or a team like that in the Frontier League, but after my internship, I enjoyed it, but I didn't think that would be something I'd want to start a career in.
Yeah.
So I kind of, luckily with the sports management degree, like I said, there's a business administration minor that came along with it. So I kind of looked more into the business side of jobs. And
how many folks do you think you sent out the resumes for? How difficult is the reason I ask, I know a lot of folks who are graduating from college relatively shortly, and the job market out there for recent college graduates is pretty difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. You got to apply anywhere.
How many applications do you think you applied for?
I probably sent out 10 to 15 at,
just starting.
Yeah. Just start. I would say, cause I originally started applying for jobs. When I graduated in August of 2014, but then I had to go away for some military training for 4 months, and I realized that it just wasn't the time, so I did part-time substitute taught, and then I was just waiting until I got back to continue apply. So I guess total I probably applied 30 to 45 jobs because I applied in August of 2014 and then again in the summer of 2015.
How's that process work? Are you able to get interviews immediately on those 45 jobs, or did you get any interviews?
I'd say – the hit rate for a callback is probably half of them.
Do they do callback? Is that where you do an interview, a phone interview, or do they?
Now the process seems to be phone interview, and then if they like what they hear on the phone, then they'll do an in-person interview.
Okay.
And then after the in-person, some of them have a second in-person interview. I did one interview, it was a group interview for the first in-person one.
Wait a minute. I've never heard of such a thing. A group interview for the in-person. How many people were there?
I would say 25.
In the group?
Yes.
How does this work? Is there a proctor up there that starts asking questions, and if you don't stand out among the 25 people, they'll just shuffle you out the door or something? How does that work?
Yeah, they would have questions that they would ask that they'd want people to raise their hand kind of and speak up. And then they'd have questions that they would want every single person to answer. And it was kind of just that was more to see if you were someone that could get along with, because this was a marketing job.
Uh-huh.
So they want to see your personality.
Really?
And that was strictly, that part was just personality.
That's not the point where you sit there and you say, hey, that guy took my answer or something.
No, you don't want to. Yeah.
You don't want to say, hey, I was going to say that or something.
Or just be a fly on the
wall.
What
kind of questions? Do you remember?
One was, the one that sticks out in my head was, what is something you want to do? A goal that you want to do, on your personal side, a life experience you want to do. And Mine was see all 30 MLB stadiums.
Yeah.
And then there was people that were kind of like basic answers, like go skydiving or
something that you can do in go skydiving. You can get that. We could do that this afternoon if you'd like.
Yeah. When you get off.
Yeah, you know. I get off in about a little while.
yeah, but so they were kind of looking just to see how you interacted with them and if you stuck out your personality, if you had an outgoing personality, that type of thing.
Did you get to shuttle along to the next
Yes, I did.
Next part of that cattle call? I mean, that sounds like a cattle call, which is fine. I mean, that's pretty cool.
How many
of the 25 got moved along?
I don't know that because they called you back individually for the interview, but I was called back for that interview.
How long does that take? How long the 25 – the it fascinates me because I've never heard of it.
I would say
– How long were y'all in the room?
It was like an hour and a half of the whole thing because – they fed us too. It was it was like 20 people.
They wanted to see you eat.
25. Yeah.
That guy eats with that guy chews with his mouth open.
Or you went back four times.
Yeah. That guy looks like he hasn't eaten in weeks.
Yeah, so I guess they're looking how much you need at a job.
Well, then there you go. Yeah, I see your point.
But yeah, they so it was like that part I was telling you sat, and you called him a proctor.
Yeah.
Was in front, and then you kind of they took you on a tour of the building, and then
who was that? What the marketing agency?
Maybe? It was Jimmy John's. They have
really?
Guerrilla marketing. How they?
No kidding. So is Jimmy John's headquartered like in Urbana or something?
Yeah, that's how. Their big schools are Eastern Illinois and U of I that they get their people from. There's
the
some
guys
from
Charleston.
Yeah.
Jimmy John himself.
EIU grad. He bleeds blue.
No, I did not realize he was an EIU grad.
Yeah.
Has he sent back a stadium or anything yet?
No. They could use it right now.
Oh, that's cool. That's pretty cool. So that you didn't end up taking that job, I guess.
No.
Tell me your military. You decided to join the ROTC, didn't you?
Yeah, I originally
reserve.
Illinois National Guard. I enlisted in 2011, and I went to basic training the year after.
So you graduated high school in 11 or 10?
In 10.
10, okay.
Then I went to Frontier for a year, and at Frontier I joined the National Guard with plans in joining ROTC at Eastern.
Yeah.
So in the summer of 2011, in between Frontier and Eastern, I went to basic training and my AIT, Advanced Individual Training, which is your job training.
I see.
I was a truck driver. They call them 88 Mikes.
Okay.
In the Army. Then I was actually 2 weeks late to school at Eastern because of how long the training went. But I was able – at the Advanced Individual Training, they – let you have your phones more. You have a little more freedom than basic. So I was able to call my professors and email them if I couldn't get a hold of them on the phone and let them know I was at this.
I was going to say, how welcoming are they to somebody missing the first 2 weeks of class? I guess if you're in basic training or if you're in training, they don't mind as much.
Yeah, it wasn't. I really didn't have any problems with it. One of my teachers was kind of. He just told me to get notes from a fellow classmate that I didn't know. So no, I didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't know anybody then.
Yeah. So, but that was the only problem I really had. But he was still nice about it. And he let me take the test a little later to catch up. Yeah.
How long did it take you to catch up on missing 2 weeks?
Not as much as you'd think. Because in college,
well, you know, the first 2 weeks of school, the kids are all goofing off anyway, right?
I don't think anyone goes to class the first week, but so really I only miss 1 week. But.
Well, that's cool. So then you did you get into the ROTC?
Yeah, I when I signed my contract for the National Guard in February of 2011, before I went, I talked to the EIU ROTC program, like almost guarantee me a spot.
Yeah.
And being able to get a scholarship for that before. I was like, I'm not going
to
do
this.
See, I
mean, and that's the reason you're doing this. You're doing this to get paid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Initially, yes. But now, like, I realize, I mean, it was probably the best decision I made to be able to.
Tell me
that.
About that commitment. I mean, because you're still involved in that,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes. I've on my second contract because I signed a six-year contract when I enlisted in 2011, but when you commission as an officer, which is the goal of the ROTC program, you have to sign a new contract as an officer, and both of those were 6-year commitments, but I broke my first one to sign the contract.
To sign the second one.
Yeah. So I'll at the end of this contract, I'll have 9 years of service in 2020.
Are you an officer yet?
Yes, I'm a second lieutenant, about to be a first lieutenant.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How long is the ROTC training? And I guess when you graduated from Eastern, you became an officer immediately?
Yes, you have to have a bachelor's degree to be an officer.
I see.
So they kind of coincide. That's how the ROTC program works, to work with you on getting your degree and at the same time commissioning as an officer. I chose to stay in the Guard, but there's a lot of people that competed to be an officer in the active duty Army, or the
ones who were in the Guard who went through ROTC competed to get the active.
Yes.
Yeah.
I chose to just stay in the Guard because I wanted to still be like have a civilian job and do the
when
at the same time.
When say I guess Bruce Reiner would call out the National Guard, right? Because you would be an officer. Have you ever been called out? I know you said you've never been deployed into
I have not been called for a national disaster. I was really close on the flood that just happened in the Mississippi River near St. Louis. We were going to be the next unit to go.
Oh, really?
But my unit did not, they were not needed.
Where's your unit out of? Out of Charleston?
No, out of Danville. I am actually the platoon leader at the detachment in Danville, but our headquarters is Paris.
How big's the platoon?
54 people, including myself.
I've always wondered how, whenever they call out the National Guard, you see gobs of people showing up at like Katrina or at different natural and unnatural disasters. I've always kind of wondered where they all come from, and it's basically your kind of person, isn't it?
Yes,
that are working their normal jobs and get and are called to that, right?
Correct. Yeah. Being a platoon leader, I have to. I'm in charge of those.
You have to contact the 58 guys or however.
We have a chain of command. I actually get to just contact my platoon sergeant and tell her to contact the squad leaders, who contact their team leaders, who contact the rest of the soldiers.
How about that? I guess no one wants to be deployed because that means there's a disaster you have to take care of, right? But I mean, you must be somewhat eager to be able to put your training to use.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly right. We kind of feel like we're constantly training for that event, and getting our job training every month we go. That's what we're doing. We're focused on practicing our job just in case there is a natural disaster or we are called on to deploy overseas. Actually, my unit's job, we're in charge of the medical supplies of a natural disaster. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, we're in charge of issuing the supplies and transporting them to areas of need.
How about that? So you're in charge of like the Percocet and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was about to tell a bad joke and I'm not going to do it. I'm talking with Henry Simmers, Hank Simmers here of CSI Insurance. I guarantee at some point, Hank, we'll talk about insurance if you want to. Then again, we might
bore them.
Then again, we might not. Then again, we might not. You're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. My guest across the way, Henry Simmers. Hank, Hammer and Hank Simmers. You can give him a call. When you give him a call at CSI, you can call him Hank, call him Henry. You don't care if anybody's going to call you Hank, do you?
No, except for my mom and dad. I think it's weird.
Do they call you? What's your middle name?
Matthew.
So they call Henry Matthew!
I hear that. I've heard that three times.
We're talking about a variety of subjects today, and Hank is a you don't mind me calling you Hank.
No, I'm used to that. Right. So
Hank is a he works as an insurance producer for CSI Insurance. How did you? Okay, I'm trying to follow the flow here. You just basically needed the job, and that popped open. Is that what, or I mean, or you intensely want to help people?
I do want to help people. Me being in the National Guard, I guess, kind of says that too. But, I was looking for a job, not necessarily in business, and I saw it on your website, actually.
Really?
For the ad for...
How about that? There's a testimonial.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
No problem. And I was real confused with Brian's name, how it's L. Brian Williams, and No, he explained it to me. I said, I've never seen...
That's because he's dad's Larry.
Yeah, I've never seen the first initial, or first name being initial. And I explained that to him. But, I saw the ad for the job, and I was real intrigued because I wanted to be a part of Fairfield, but most of the jobs with a college degree aren't around here.
Yeah, professional jobs.
Yeah. And
kind of tough to find.
Yeah. You got to go to the big city almost, I feel like. And that's where I was looking. I wasn't even... looking for jobs around here almost, and I stumbled across it on your website and applied, and kind of blessed with this opportunity to work with Brian and Richard. And
tell me a little bit about the training. You said you spent some time in Collinsville, and you've also had to go to Columbus, huh?
Yeah, Columbus. I'm part of the Paysetter program, as I said, with State Auto, a company we represent. As independent insurance agents, we represent a lot of companies,
right.
And we kind of when we look at a client, we see which company would fit them best for their needs. And I went to the Paysetter program in Columbus. It's a 2-week program. First week, technical training, learning about insurance. It's as boring as it sounds.
Okay. I was going to say, don't say that, but you're probably right.
I'm just kidding.
But it is part of the job.
Yeah, and you, as an insurance agent, you need to understand that
stuff.
Absolutely
right.
You need to understand the ins and outs.
Certainly.
And then the second week was the sales training part of it and learning how to be a successful insurance
producer.
How to
deal with folks.
Yeah, and a lot of it is time management. Learn how to manage time, whether that be handling a client, an existing client, working on getting a new client, and being new, you're more focused on the new clients.
Sure. Hank, tell me a little bit about what were some of the things you learned out there that kind of surprised you? Maybe, I mean, when you're having sales training like that, they hit you with a lot of information.
Yeah,
I'm sure
they did. The amount of contacts you need to have with a prospect, I guess, would be one. They said the average is 8 contacts before you can get through to them.
Oh, is that right?
And whether that be like an ad on the radio or you sent them a letter in the mail or met them in person, those are all touches or contacts.
Yeah.
And they said it takes, on average, 8 to get through to them or have a chance to be their insurance agent.
What is your favorite part of the job? It sounds to me, just kind of listening, trying to match your client, trying to match your customer to maybe what you've got several different companies to choose from, trying to match them to whatever particular company might be most effective for them is the tricky part, as well as probably the fulfilling part, right?
Yeah, definitely. The best value for the customer, you're trying to find that for them. Like they always say, the right coverage at the right price.
Yeah.
I guess the most fulfilling thing is just helping people and making sure that having that sense of security that they need for their home, the business, or the life that they need and have that security. That's something that I can provide.
You haven't really been in it a real long time as yet. What's your favorite part of the job so far? Well, I mean, the trip to Columbus, even though it was a long, how long was the training?
Two weeks.
Just 2 weeks? How many?
But
times?
It's a year program.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how long do you have to do that? How often do you have to? Do
I have a coach from the state auto company that he calls me once a week. Mondays at 1:00, so every Monday I gotta make sure I'm by my phone. Talk to him. I review my previous week with him, and kind of let him know what happened and things that, and he'll tell me things I can improve on or what I need to focus on.
I'm sitting here thinking of coach. You, when you say somebody's a coach, I always look to like a high school basketball sideline where or Bob Knight is a coach yelling at people. This guy, that's not what this guy's doing. Is
no, it? No, not at all. Luckily, it's not yelling at him. Maybe that means I'm doing the right thing.
Well, that's true too.
But yeah, he's kind of just because he's been through it. He was an insurance agent. Now he works for a
trainer.
Company. Yeah, and Brian and Richard might not have the time that to focus on teaching me some things because they're doing their job as well as running the company.
Sure.
So it's a good program because it allows me to have an outside source to, and it's good for the company to have an outside source looking in, and so we can do some of the right things and
fun?
New things. Yeah.
Having a good time?
Yeah. Brian and Rich are great to work with.
Well, wonderful. Wonderful. And the girls in the office? Are the
yes. Loretta, Joni, and we got a new one, Laura. They're all great to work with, yes.
You knew you had to say they're all great to work with or you'd be in trouble right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Definitely.
They wouldn't. They'd lock
I think
the
they're
door.
Listening. So they're
going, I can see Loretta and
I
Joni.
I might not get any help.
I was going to say, I can see Loretta and Joni running up there and hitting the automatic lock on the door or something.
Yeah, definitely.
Have to run to the backside, too.
No, but even if we're off air, I'd say that they were great to work with. Yeah.
Hank, tell me a little bit more about yourself. And I haven't asked you about college football on the radio yet. You're one of the you are one of the more devoted college football fans that I know, aren't you?
Yeah, I would say we talked about baseball, but I'd say I probably like baseball as a sport better, but individually college football
is the thing, isn't it?
Because I can watch any matchup in college football and be intrigued.
Who's your team?
The Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Why did you pick Notre Dame? You knew I was going to ask you this.
They're not from Pittsburgh.
They aren't from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I don't know. I grew up watching Lou Holtz. I guess I didn't really watch, but I remember watching Notre Dame games when I was little on NBC and just getting excited every time. And when I went to the campus for the first time, it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had.
I was going to say, have you been to a game?
Yes, me and my dad have went to a few.
Who'd you see him play? Do you remember?
I saw him play Purdue the year they went to the national championship.
Oh, wow.
I saw him play Utah, and I saw some of the Charlie Weiss era, unfortunately.
All right, I see. Charlie Weiss was supposed to be such a good hire. When
the
Notre
first
Dame
two got... years, it looked like he was. And then
what happened?
He quit recruiting.
All right, don't curse. Don't curse, Hank.
I'm trying not to.
But I'm asking you, what happened with Charlie Weiss?
As you can tell, I'm a passionate person.
I know it. I know it. That's cool.
He always was in the NFL, and he is a great offensive mind.
Sure.
But I just feel like he wasn't able to translate that to college, and because he never had to develop players, really.
And his big thing, he always kind of said he was going to go into the living rooms and just show them Super Bowl rings.
Yeah,
right?
That was his recruiting pitch, was like, oh, you want to win championships, and then flash his ring.
Flashing his ring.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was a pretty good recruiter. He's sent some people to the NFL with the recruits he's brought in, but he never had a defense. They were winning games 38-35, and you can't do that in college football.
You can't do that in Notre Dame, probably, for sure.
Yeah.
What do you think of Brian Kelly?
I think he's turned the program around for sure. Yeah. And continually you can count on him to – they're competing every year. And
you got plans to go to another game?
Hoping to this year. I don't
Who they have at home? I didn't know who they're – or have you ever been to a road Domers game?
No, I've not been to a road one. That'd be interesting to go to, too. They have a pretty good following across the nation, so you never
might
are
be
alone.
Tough to get tickets.
Yeah, it is tough. That no matter where they play.
You say, how did you get tickets when you've been able to go? It's easier to get tickets during the late Charlie Weiss era, probably. Yeah,
those were the cheapest ones, surprisingly.
Yeah, I imagine.
My grandpa worked at Caterpillar, and one of his employees that he became good friends with.
So you have an in.
Yeah, was a Notre Dame grad.
Wonderful.
Peter, so shout out to Peter. He's probably not listening, but he's helped me out.
Hey, that's cool. That's cool. Hank, I appreciate you coming in today.
I'm had a good time.
Best of luck to you at CSI.
Thank you. Best of luck to you, Bruce.
Thank you very much, Henry. I appreciate that. That's Henry Simmers. He's an insurance producer at CSI, and that'll be the Bruce Dickey Show for today. Have a great afternoon, folks.